Welcome to an all-new episode of SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. Thank you so much for joining us, and we have a jam-packed show today. Of course, we're going to recap the weekend that was, but we're also going to be joined by Kindersley Clippers forwards Logan Linklater, Tylan Hilbig, get their thoughts on their weekend where they knocked off the Melfort Mustangs, giving them their first loss of the season, and much, much more. But without further ado, let's bring in our lovely co-host, Noogsy, Rory, fellas. To quote Stain, it has been a while, and that is because obviously last week we didn't have a show because of the Thanksgiving long weekend. Hopefully everybody could enjoy time with their family and friends for Thanksgiving, but how are you guys doing?
Doing really well. I'm glad to be back with you guys, talking SJHL hockey, of course. It's been, you know, a long 2 weeks. I'm always excited to get back. And a lot to break down from this weekend, and I'm really excited for our first double dose of guests as we get both Tylan Hilbig and Logan Linklater joining at the same time for what was a really successful and big week against Kindersley, taking on arguably, who some are saying, the best, if not one of the best teams in the league in Melfort.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I tell you, Logan Linklater has been a fan of the show for a while, too, so excited, and he wanted to come on. And we're in a new studio, so I wanted to celebrate with a little gift
that
I gave to the fellas. Boy. And Jacob Faith, I know you're a big podcast guy, so in the podcast, here's a great idea for a sponsor. If we can get a shot of this somehow, it's the Nougat Bar.
What is this?
It's the Nougat Bar, so I got one for Rory.
Oh,
I got one for you.
You can just toss her over.
There you go.
Still got it.
It's literally a Nougat Bar.
Where?
And you can get it at a store called, can I say the name of the store?
I don't know. Sure. You tell me.
You can get it at Superstore.
Oh, okay.
Is it gluten-free?
No.
Okay.
I can't eat it, but it's called the Nougat Bar.
I like it. Thank you, Nougat.
Thank you.
There you go. So
you can't even have it.
Love you, boys. Yeah. I can't even eat it. No.
Oh, my gosh.
But my wife had one. She said it was delicious.
All right.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
She likes you know what? After the show, we'll do a review of it. We'll do a review of it.
We'll do a review.
We'll try it. Maybe we'll film it and put it on the SJHL social media handles.
Perfect.
Thank you, Jamie. That was very nice of you. But let's get right into it, shall we? Busy weekend. 5 games Friday, 5 games Saturday in the SJHL. Let's dive headfirst into it. Let's start with Friday. Like I mentioned, 5 games on the schedule. The Flin Flon Bombers earned a 7-1 win over the Estevan Bruins. Humboldt 3-1 over Nipawin. Melville 4-3 shootout winners over the Yorkton Terriers. There it is. The Melfort Mustangs with a 3-2 overtime victory over the Kindersley Clippers, and the Battlefords North Stars with a 6-0 win over LaRonche. Then moving to Saturday. 4 of the 5 games were rematches of Friday night. Melville completing the weekend sweep of their Highway 10 rivals, winning 3-1 over Yorkton. Flin Flon 2-1 winners over Weyburn in a shootout. Nipawin getting a little bit of revenge on Humboldt with a 3-2 win in overtime. And then Battlefords winning 6-2 over LaRonche. Kindersley 5-4 over Melfort. And of course, all of our lookbacks from the weekend are presented by our good friends at Sask Lotteries. Guys, let's start with the Flin Flon Bombers. I think it's always impressive when these teams from the north do the 4-game and 5-night road trips, and it's not often that a team goes down south and sweeps all 4 games in 5 nights. The Flin Flon Bombers are for real, and they looked very impressive on this road trip.
Yeah, it's 2 games in a row, a day off, and then 2 games in a row on that road trip for the Flin Flon Bombers. They picked up all 8 points. They're as impressive as a team. You know, I mean, like last year, the Battlefords North Stars, you kind of look at the Flin Flon Bombers,
sure.
And it is a litany of luxury for the Meg Reagan and the Flin Flon Bombers. Everywhere you look on that lineup is someone that can make you pay. Two great goaltenders who split time this weekend, almost identical numbers, right? Your defense isn't giving up any goals. The offense is the most potent offense in the league. They've taken the fewest penalties per game in the league. And when they do take penalties, they have the best penalty kill. There's no holes in this team. And what I really love about them is that they're doing it consistently through 60 minutes. They're not any periods off, as they lead the league in first period goals. They lead the league in second period goals. They lead the league in third period goals. First period shots on net, second period shots on net, third period shots on net. It is 60 minutes of Flin Flon just coming after you and after you. And it is as impressive as a team as I've seen. And comparing them to the North Stars of last year, I know that is a high bar set, but they're so good right now in the early going of the season, Noogsy.
Yeah, and the scary thing about the Flin Flon Bombers, I think they can even be better than they have been over this road trip. They outscored the opposition 19-2 over the 4 games as well. 2 shutouts. You know, and hard to do better than that. Harmon, Laser Hume, Kenneth Marquardt. Will we see Nugavar? There you go. Will we see more of a balanced 1A, 1B this year between those two? Because, like, can I tell you, Mike Reagan is really, really high on Kenneth Marquardt. Mm-hmm. He was last year too, and wanted to give him, you know, a few more starts. I think he will this year. And you said it, Rory, like, there's no holes. And because of that, they played 4 and 5. Yes, they did. That's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking anything away. But they can rotate their squad. They did it quite a lot. They rotated their goalies. They were able to rest guys. They were able to play some guys, plug guys in. And if, you know, a Jacob Vaucler, like maybe in Wilcox, it wasn't Jacob Vaucler's best night.
Sure.
He's going to have many good nights. He's had many good nights. But, like, Justin Lees just steps up, or Anthony Pichninino can just step right up, or, you know, Carter Anderson, who they just added from the Prince Albert Raiders, who looks like he's going to be a superstar in this league, he just steps right up. So the list goes on and on and on. We could go through the whole lineup, I'm sure, like this, but bottom line is, yeah, it's scary. This Flin Flon team is scary.
And we didn't talk about that because they were both acquired after our last show we had during that Thanksgiving week. Adam McNutt on the blue line, and then Carter Anderson up front is just two experienced WHL players coming in and just, I wouldn't even say bolstering. It's like, wow. Like, another thing you got to deal with Flin Flon. They've been impressive.
There's an argument that Noah Hull's been the best defenseman in the league so
I don't think
far.
That's an argument. He has been.
Well, and the other thing to just, I guess, put a bow on the Flin Flon Bombers, I think what's impressive, too, is through 10 games, there's only been twice that they haven't scored 5 or more goals. Yep. There's only been twice where they've only found the back of the net
And they're
once.
Doing it everywhere as well. We talk about how hard they are to beat in the Whitney Forum. They're undefeated on the road.
Yeah.
Like, they're not losing on the road either. So it's going to be tough right now. And I think we've talked about the last 2 years of, you know, Flin Flon. Yeah, they're up there among favorites to be a front runner for the SJHL championship. We know how bad they want it. We know how bad Mike Reagan wants it. They are front runners right now, without question.
They're the second best team in the CJHL after Brooks. Period.
All right, there you go. Let's move on to another team that's been impressive to start this year, and that's the Melville Millionaires, guys. 5-2 to start this season. This weekend, they had their first Highway 10 rivalry matchup against the Yorkton Terriers, and they had a home-and-home, and they swept the home-and-home, and now quietly, Melville's 5-2, and they are off to a great start this year. Their only two losses have come at Affinity Place in Estevan. Everywhere else, A-OK.
Yeah, and I talked in our season preview about how excited I was for some of the 06s, some of the 05s, the Saskatchewan kids of those vintage. And there's two as good as any on the Melville Millionaires. Cohen Swan and Cole Keane are just as good of an 06 as anybody in the SJHL. And Doug Johnson, you know, I asked him what the secret was to the start. He said, there's no secrets. Team's working hard. We've got great goaltending. We talked about how good we expected Will Dyke to be this year playing behind a Doug Johnson team. And that's been, he's been money in the bank. No pun intended for the Melville Millionaires. They've bought in early and often to Doug Johnson's ways. They practice for 2 hours at a time there in Melville, and you know the kids are buying in. Got to give them credit. They have 2.29 goals against per game. That's third in the league behind Humboldt and Flin Flon, who just don't give up goals either. They're 5-0 when they score their first goal in games. And as I said, they're just finding ways to score goals, you know, whenever they need to, whenever they can. And everybody knows they're no fun to play against.
They're absolutely no fun to play against. I want to give a shout out to the Melville crowd as well, right? Their attendance is now, is it third? It's third or fourth in the SJHL. And they're undefeated at home. I'm not saying it's because of it, but it's growing there, right?
100%.
There's belief there. And Melville was one of the places you wouldn't expect there to be a crazy crowd on a Saturday night. Now they're getting that support, and I absolutely love it. They're the youngest team in the league, right? And usually when you see these young teams, over the course of a game, more experienced, older teams can start to punish you, right? They can start to wear down on your decor, really get offensive pressure later in games. Melville's given up 3 third-period goals all season long. They're undefeated at home. And Nugsy also said when they score the first goal, they're undefeated. So if they can get a good start, they're really hard to beat down over 60, which is amazing to see for such a young team.
Yeah.
And what a story Willie Dyke is right now. Is he not the front runner for goalie of the year? We've had so many good goalies, but just the uncertainty of what Melville was going to be and how good he's playing. I love it. Yeah. I love the story.
Yeah, I mean, you think about premium pairings in this league, and I don't know how many people are saying Matt Chemis and Cohen's son, but they have been unbelievable together as a pair. And just playing Doug's system. I mean, you know, Jeremy, you've been paying attention to this league for many, many years. You know those Doug Johnson teams of Nipawin past. They were the same. Like, they were in your face. Exact they same. Were impossible to beat, break down, and get good scoring chances. And, man, oh, man, you know, when you do get a chance, Will Dyke and even Ethan Rao has been there. So, man, big-time credit to the kids, first of all, for saying, you know what, hey, do we look around this room? Do we have the superstars like Flynn Flon, maybe like Humboldt, maybe like Melfort? Maybe not, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, our superstar is our collective, and mm-hmm. they have been that.
And I guess to wrap things up with Melville, one thing I think will be interesting over the course of this next two-week stretch for the Melville Millionaires, their next four games, Melfort, Flynn Flon, Flynn Flon. And I think that'll be the first real big test for this Melville Millionaires club. Three or four of those games are away from the bank.
I have utmost faith. They've beaten Battlefords. They've beaten Estevan. Yep. Right? They've beaten Yorkton's on an upswing team. They've faced some tough talent. Mm-hmm. Have they faced the two top teams right now in the standings? No. But I have utmost faith in them, 100%.
And to credit Doug Johnson again, because he deserves all the credit we're giving him and his team. He said, when I talked to him this morning, he said, we're going to learn the next couple of weeks what we're really, really made of.
Right.
To your point, Rory, about facing the Flynn Flons and the Melforts in their house. Can you play Doug Johnson's way when, you know, there's something about the Northern Lights Palace, it's kind of dark and dingy and the fans are right on you and it's not a fun place to go. And obviously we all know, talked a lot about the Whitney, so don't need to go there right now, but yeah, it'll be fascinating to watch, no question.
Yeah, and to echo what Rory said, too, about the crowd in Melville on Saturday, 1,136 people at that game between Melville and York.
Usually
a big crowd for the Highway 10 rivalry, but like Rory said, lots of excitement.
Winning helps, and Melville's winning right now.
It's exciting times in Melville for sure. Let's go to another team that also swept this weekend, the Battlefords North Stars. Up and down start to the year, but a lot of positives this weekend, sweeping the LaRonge Ice Wolves, 6-0 win at home, and then a 6-2 victory in LaRonge, a very difficult place to play.
I'll harp on it all year. Love these young Saskatchewan kids getting opportunity. And Carson Olsen is legitimate. 8 points in 9 games as an 0-6 defenseman for Battlefords already this year. You know, they didn't maybe get enough credit from us, from many people, Battlefords, to start this year, but we should have known better. Braden Klamosko, Gary Childerhose will get his team firing eventually. You know, they brought in Hunter Bergeson, Rory, great pick in the draft. You know, we knew that he would come in and be a piece. He's been a big piece. And down the middle, Battlefords is very, very good. You know, you talk about that was foursome of Sinclair, Allen, Portner, and Underhill. It's a very sneaky, good top four centerman. You know, LaRonge's got to find a way to stop leaking goal-scoring chances, no matter who they are. You know, I'm sure Kevin Kaminsky's working hard at that in practice. But, look, Battleford's got Justin Merrick back. Everybody knows that when you believe in your goalie like the Battlefords do now, again with Justin Merrick and Joey Hocko, when he's in net, that makes the team another inch, 2 inches taller. This Battleford's team is ready to go. They know how to win. They have a good core back from the Centennial Cup. Not worried. I was never worried about Battlefords, and I think this was a statement weekend.
Yeah, I'm right on page. Justin Merrick coming back, one of the best reacquisitions of the year. Posted 2 shutouts in his first 3 games. I like it that they did it both ways this weekend. Yeah, they fought through a first period where nothing was happening, come out in the second, explode for 3 goals in 3 minutes, take over the game in the third period, right? In the second game, LaRonge goes up 2-0. Battlefords, a younger team, right? Mm-hmm. A younger, guys that have been Ben Portner, Carson Olsen, as you mentioned, guys that are driving a lot of the stuff right now, come back and win 6-2. So they're doing it in both ways. They have not had great starts.
No.
That's got to change. I'm sure that's what Gary and Braden are kind of keyed in on. They're being doubly outscored in first periods, 12-6. Not what we're used to expect that's Battlefords did last year. But I like the way that they're doing it both ways. 2 weeks ago, I said, I don't know what their identity is right now.
Sure.
I still don't know if I do, but but Justin Merrick back there really solidifies, I think, the goaltending, and then they can build from the net out, which is what they're going to do. And
You talk about identity, like the Battlefords North Stars, they always get their wingers high. They always have lots of speed. Everything is fast with them. There's no waiting around. They're putting pucks in areas. And I think a big part of that is Wiley Riendo and their staff and Braden Klamosko
identifying who they need to bring in, who they need to add, who needs to go, who needs to stay, how they can get everybody to buy into a system. Because every time you have as much success as the Battle for North Stars do, they lost a lot of pieces, a lot of pieces that are their core. And so these guys are new to their roles with the team, but they brought in a guy like Hunter Bergeson, who we all know can fly. Mm-hmm. Big boy, but he can fly. You know, Carson Olsen, very mobile. Portner, very mobile. That's the way they gotta play. That's the way that they're always gonna play. So it's the identity is the same. It's just getting them to play that way. And once they do, and when they do, they're gonna be just as tough as any as they always are. The Battle for the North Stars.
And speaking of Ben Portner, you both mentioned him.
Yeah,
he is this week's winner of the Tourism Saskatchewan Highlight of the Week. So let's take a look at it.
Shot towards the front. It was blocked, though, and now Portner back on the attack the other way. In for the Stars, right down the middle, and what a goal! Cue the highlight reel!
And I guess just to add what you guys were talking mm-hmm. about when it comes to the Balfour's North Stars is because they had lost so much, it's creating so much more opportunity now for a lot of yep. these new players like Ben Portner to mm-hmm. come in and, you know, get that chance in the top six and play a big role.
I liked how they've filled in the pieces that they have returned. Because mm-hmm. they lost so much on top of their roster, they still had a good group of returning players. Yeah. There's like 10 or 11 of them.
Yeah.
Among the highest, you know, in the upper six of the SJHL and returning them, they just weren't your Jake Southgates, your Steve Kesteringer, yeah. right?
It wasn't those high-end guys.
They yeah. lost a lot of that. So sure. you're getting a young Carson Olsen, a Ben Portner, right? Yeah. Sinclair from the KIJHL, who was second in the league in scoring. Now they're starting to figure out yeah. the Junior A game. They're starting to fill in with these Brad Blakes, the Marshall Lights, the Jordan Grills, Tanner Gold, who had an amazing game on the weekend,
yeah,
right? And now you're seeing it is kind of becoming glued together on what they want to look like moving forward.
For sure. Let's move on to the Kindersley Clippers, who had they quietly, for the second weekend in a row, Kindersley, 3 out of a possible 4 points, a solid weekend. And they had the Melfort Mustangs, their first loss in regulation, another solid weekend for Kindersley.
It was, and just a quick point about the weekend. Again, Kindersley, a young team, mm-hmm. right? They didn't get deterred when Melfort got the first two goals of the
That's
game.
Right.
And then when Melfort started to come back, they're up 3-0. They're feeling good about themselves. They're at home, right? And then Melfort, boom, 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 3 goals in the third period. That game could go derailed for a young team. Yeah. And they don't. Danton Cox steps up with his first of the year. His brother Logan with his fourth. Mm-hmm. And they win that game. First loss for the Melfort Mustangs. And it's to the Kindersley Clippers. So it was a slower start for Clayton Jardine. I mean, slowest start if you include 5 games. It's not that big of a sample no. size, right?
We're not even a month in the season.
No, exactly. But I think this is huge for confidence levels for a team like yeah. Kindersley who wants to prove everyone wrong, and you go up and get 3 out of 4 points against the first-place team in the SJHL. It's big.
It is big. I mean, the Kindersley Clippers, we talked about it ad nauseum last year, even under Ken Placco, and how much better they were at home than they were mm-hmm. On the road. And that was a bit of an issue that Ken Placco, you know, no disrespect, never really overcame with that Kindersley Clippers team. I don't think they're that young. Like, obviously, we have a Logan Linklater and a Tylan Hilbig, you know, coming on. Logan Cox, you know, they have a core of veteran guys that are expecting to take a big step forward. And it's really about, you know, again, new coach trying to figure out what it is that Clayton Jardine wants them to do and accomplish. And I thought it was a really interesting matchup of styles between Melfort and Kindersley. I mean, the Kindersley Clippers sit back and want to counterattack and take advantage. Melfort wants to be up in your face, and their fourth D or their fourth skater in their D is jumping in all over the place, maybe behind the net sometimes. You know, it's a very interesting contrast in styles between Melfort and Kindersley whenever they do battle. But yeah, again, same thing as Melville, right? The people in Kindersley will come out if you give mm-hmm. them something to believe in, and they're doing a nice job. They're adding seats you were talking about, Jeremy.
Yeah, those seats excited look about that. Sharp.
Looking sharp, very exciting. And again, Clayton's a guy we all know. He's a great guy. He's a great coach. So I think the Clippers, if they completely buy into what he's preaching, they'll be in good shape. And I don't think they're that young. They got two experienced goalies that we both know, mm-hmm. can stop pucks. Cody Jamin and Justin Falk have both had great games in this league as well. So, you know, there's a lot to like on that Kindersley Clippers team. I like them as a playoff team in our season preview. I just kind of listen to Clayton Jardine and follow what he does. But I expect to see, you know, more weekends, more shows like this where we're saying, hey, look, the Kindersley Clippers beat a Melfort or beat a Humboldt yeah. or beat a Battlefords because they have those pieces that are game breakers like a Logan Linklater. And by the way, Logan Linklater – 7 goals in these 2 games against Melfort. Not anything to do to score against the Melfort Mustangs. Logan Linkler didn't have any points, and that's good. That is good for Kindersley that they found a way to win a game without needing Logan Linklater.
Not good for my fantasy team, though.
It's not good for Rory's fantasy
team. You're already in first.
Not good for Logan. I'm sure he'll be fine as long as they win. He's that type of kid. I know him. But it's good because, you know, there's other pieces that are doing the job. Right.
They have a lot of experience. Yeah, but they do. They are the top 3 youngest teams in the league with Melville and Humboldt.
Yeah.
So they are. I mean, 207s on a roster will do that for average age.
Yeah.
The Perlingers, right? Yeah. No one else is carrying 207s.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are the top three teams for being the youngest average age in the SJHL.
For sure. And they got a tough weekend ahead. We'll have to ask both Tylan and Logan about, because they're in Flin Flon for 2 games and then a Sunday afternoon game in LaRonge for 3 games and 3 nights next weekend. Finally, last little series to talk about before we go to break is Nipwin and Humboldt. 2-3-2 games, back and forth contest, close contest. I mean, Rory, you were at both. What'd you see from both teams?
Yeah, really good playoff-like atmosphere. I mean, these two teams over the last 16 games have played each other now 6 times, right?
Yeah,
6-7 times. Mm-hmm. So a lot of familiarity with the returning players. Definitely some animosity between, you know, Braxton Buckberger, Cage Newins, those guys who have played each other so frequently. But it was exactly what you would expect Nipwin to want to play against one of the top teams in the league. In the final 2 minutes, if it wasn't for Ben Motu, Nipwin's tying that game and it's going to overtime both games.
Okay.
And then in the second game, they smelt a little blood in the second period. Humboldt fell into penalty trouble. They scored a shorthanded goal. They're second in the league in shorthanded goals. They scored a power play goal to go up. It was the first time Humboldt was trailing this season. And Nipwin played a perfect game plan to shut Humboldt down throughout that game too and pick up a win in overtime. So I was impressed with the Nipwin Hawks. As for the Humboldt Broncos, they're missing 3 of their top defensemen, so they only played 5D. Only one of them had SJHL experience. And guys like Chase Cook, Connor Tuohy were playing 30 minutes a game. So I think they just got a little wore down in that third period. Matthew Van Blair, comment you saw right there, penalty shot in overtime, got caught up on some dead snow. I'm happy for the Nipwin Hawks because for the first game it was Humboldt with an opponent that they didn't just run through.
Right.
And for a lot of their new young guys, it's going to be a huge learning experience, more so than beating Weyburn 10-1.
Yeah. Sure. Do not take penalties against the Humboldt Broncos. 27.5% on the power play, 11 for 40. Cage Newins has 5 goals, 4 on the power play, probably all 4 from the same spot with the same one-timer. Boy, oh boy, is that a problem? Find a way. Everybody's circling, watching the Humboldt power play. Say, hey, don't let Cage Newins take a one-timer, and don't let him take that shot from that right shot from the left side. And somehow he still finds a way to do it. So until someone stops him, he's going to keep doing it, and he's going to keep scoring, you know, because that shot is lethal. But yeah, great for Nipwin. Stuck with it. Hard place to go, Elgar Peterson Arena. You know, talk another couple 06s, right? 06 Saskatchewan kids. Ronan Buckberger, we've talked about him ad nauseum. Maybe the best rookie in the league so far, if you include Connor Tuohy. I know he's a 19-year-old, but he's a rookie. So, you know, those two guys going at it was pretty fun to watch. And Mason Karakachuk, not to be, you know, outdone at all. Another very, very talented 06 from Saskatchewan, doing great things in this league. He's much more of a power play guy more than anything right now for Nipawin. Right. But again, as he continues to get comfortable in this league, wow, another weapon for Tad Kozin. I love these young kids getting opportunity. And, you know, again, big for Nipawin to be in another team that had not lost. We talk about Melfort not losing.
Right.
Humboldt hadn't lost in any way either. So, two teams that were undefeated come to the weekend. There you go. Welcome to the SJ.
Big thing to look for Humboldt as well, moving ahead in the season, has been their starts. It's been the best starting team so far in the SJHL. They've outscored their opponents 14-2. They've also outshot their opponents 128-46. So they just really don't let you get anywhere near the net to start the game. And then they wear you down on the other side. It can really get in your head about how am I supposed to break through this. So far, Humboldt starts has been the one thing that's really propelled them through 60 minutes. I was impressed. Yeah. Nipwin, though, in the first period in game two, they were great. It was the one game where I was like, this team's right in it, and this is going to be a game.
And Damon Cunningham.
So good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been great.
943 save percentage on the year so far. Again, small sample size, but you know, they were excited about him in the offseason. Good reason. He's been unbelievable for Nipper.
And I'm sure Tad would like a little bit more goal support for Damon Cunningham because was he have a 4-3 record?
Yeah.
Right now?
3-3. 3-3-1.
So he's 500, but he has a .942 save percentage, right? Yeah. So it's just like they gotta win 3-2 games. They gotta win 2-1 games right now. Yeah. And when Nipawin gets that offense rolling to the next level, which we expect them to, they are going to win 7 out of 10 games routinely.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing I just want to add before we go to break with Nipawin that I think's going to be beneficial for them down the stretch too is just the fact that in back-to-back weekends they play a home and home against Battleford and a home and home against Humboldt. They lose the game at home, but then they go into a difficult building and pull out a game on the road. And I mean, you know, when it comes playoff time, winning games on the road become more and more difficult, so you have that confidence moving forward throughout the season. That'll do it for the weekend recap. Of course, after the break, we will be joined by Logan Linklater, Tylan Hilbig of the Kindersley Clippers, get their thoughts on the start of the season, and much, much more. This is SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms.
And now down to Bruce Buff.
It's time for Buck Mania at Capital GMC. Get rates as low as 0.99% and savings up to $8,000 on a new GMC Sierra. Plus, used trucks with low rates and no payments for 90 days. It's Truck Mania at Capital GMC in Regina.
As a student, things can pile up fast.
Ouch.
But the RBC Student Banking Bundle makes back to school easier with up to $275 in value. That's a whole pile of takeout.
Today, online bullying is more common than ever, but there is help. Sastel wants to solve this problem. It's why they created Be Kind Online. If you're a victim of online bullying or know someone who is, or even if you just want to stop it from happening to anyone, this is a place to learn what you can do. You can find lots of tools and tips to help you stand up to cyberbullying. Be Kind Online is a place to learn how to stay safe as well, to learn best practices and plans to stop cyberbullying before it even has a chance.
Original 16. Celebrate things done well.
Sask Energy Network members are the best choice for natural gas solutions for your home or business. With comprehensive services like heating equipment maintenance, appliance installation, and in-store financing, they have natural gas solutions that go beyond heating to bring you the comfort, efficiency, and reliability of natural gas, both indoors and outdoors, all year long. For whole home natural gas solutions, network members burn brighter.
This episode of SJHL Weekly is presented by SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.
Welcome back to SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. It's Noogsy, Rory, Jeremy. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Whether you're watching on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, We appreciate it very much. But it's time to go to the video chat line, where we're pleased to be joined by both Logan Linklater and Tylan Hillebig of the Kindersley Clippers. Fellas, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. How's it going today?
Good. Thanks for having us there. I appreciate it.
For sure. First and foremost, obviously a really good weekend for your hockey club. 3 out of a possible 4 points against a team that hadn't lost a game, but you guys handed the Melfort Mustangs their first loss. What'd you guys think of your team's performance this weekend?
Yeah, I thought we played really well this weekend. Well, first game, we had a tough start, but we had a really good third to tie it up and send it to overtime. And then second game, we started off really hot and then got into some penalty trouble in the second, but pushed through in the third.
Yeah, I thought it looked good. I thought we, kind of just pushed through, and I thought we played together, well as a team. And I thought, those are the teams and those are the games you want to win and kind of establish yourself as a good team. So I thought it was a good weekend for us.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks again for your time, fellas. Really appreciate it. Both of you guys from Kindersley, decent core of the team, locals. You know, what does it mean to you guys to wear that K on your chest, knowing you probably grew up watching this team and the senior team too, I'm sure. But just talk about what that's like for you guys.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Growing up watching was always cool. Get to go to a Clipper game, it's like right on. Like, this is my Friday, Saturday night every night, and then getting to play along with a bunch of them too is awesome. Get great community support, and it's good.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. I think, it's special that we got to play together, and, Ethan and the Pearls and all. I think, we played together for so long. We know each other for so long. So I think, to kind of, bring it all full circle and be together and to be able to kind of play our full final year together, I think it's pretty cool. So.
Yeah, guys, I want to ask you, as both 20-year-old players with the Clippers, the belief in the group this year. You've shown you can beat the top teams in the league, right? Obviously, your leaders on the team helping the younger players like the Perlingers find consistency through the game. Just where do you kind of weigh that leadership role now as local guys and part of the Kindersley Clippers that are trying to get back into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it starts from up top with our coaches, with having Trapper and Clayton, who are great guys and they know the game so well, and they're kind of putting their knowledge on us. Mm-hmm. And then we can help pass it down through to the younger guys and help them.
Yeah, I think it just got to be belief. I think if you kind of, look at our team last year and, where we struggled, it was kind of just letting games go and, not playing physical, not playing hard, not kind of playing with pride type thing. So I think it kind of starts with belief. We believe in Clayton. We believe in Traps. And I think if your leaders believe it, then everyone else kind of follow you. So I don't think there's really been, no problems kind of getting guys involved. I think everyone kind of, sees the opportunity we have here and, we all believe. So we're excited. We think we can, give it a run. So.
For sure. You guys both mentioned him, so I was going to ask about your new head coach, Clayton Jardine. I mean, what's it like playing for this guy?
Yeah, he brings something different that we haven't had as a coach for a little bit, which is good, I think, for the guys and brings some intensity to the group. And he's so knowledgeable, so that helps us a lot, too.
Yeah, and like I said, we've been losing for the past couple of years. So I think, the big thing him coming in, it was just, I think it was just a big pride thing. I want to be that, that team, where everyone rubs in our face anymore. We want to, start winning games. And I think just the way he coaches and the way he kind of prides himself and, his systems and all that stuff is something that we've never seen. It's something that, we really appreciate for sure.
For sure. Lynx, I got to ask you a question specifically, Lynx. You had a year that was all over the place last year. I guess, you start with the Pats and I guess it didn't work out. And then you were kind of in limbo and had some injuries and everything. How does it feel to you to finally kind of have a year where you feel settled? You're the captain, you know what your role is, just a little bit of more of a settled feel. Maybe now you talk about it being your last year with a bunch of guys, as well. It's got to be a special feeling for you after, a bit of a tumultuous career, your junior career so far.
Yeah, it's been a bit hectic for sure, but, it's been a good year. I kind of had, I broke my foot to kind of start the, or end the summer there. So to kind of start the year, I was kind of a little bit behind. And, you know, I feel like I'm really starting to, you know, come along. But, you know, like you said, it's definitely, it feels good to, you know my role and know my worth here. And, you know, to get the honor to wear the C and to, you know, play big minutes and to play in front of, you know, people I know every night and, you know, do beside Tyler and Ethan and Pearls and, you know, all those guys. It's definitely really special. I think I just want to win. I think, like we said, like we have been, you know, not very good for the last couple of years. And I think we're just kind of sick of that feeling. And we're sick of, you know, being locals that, you know, have that junior A team that, you know, hasn't been very good. And I think that now that we're 20 and we have the opportunity to, you know, kind of dominate and, you know, be those players in the league and be those players for, you know, kids in the community and people in this community, I think it's huge. And I think it's something that, you know, means a lot to me and him. And, you know, it's something that we're excited to do. So
I guess, Tylan, I got a question then. First part's for you, and then Logan can jump in afterwards. But you've been playing with your younger brother, Ethan, for the last few years. Just what's kind of that been like to have the brotherly camaraderie on the team? And then on Logan, for your side, there's actually three sets of brothers on the Kindersley Clippers, yourself, the Perlingers, and the Coxes. Is that dressing room just full of shenanigans, of bickering between brothers? Like, what's been going on there? Tylan, you can start how it's been playing with your brother.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love playing with Ethan. Me and him, we're like best friends. We're so close in age and just even who we hang out with and what we do together. It's nice because he's a D-man too. So when we're going battling drills, I know I'm lining up against him. I'm going to give it to him here and make him look funny. But no, it's really awesome playing with him. I enjoy it. He's one of my biggest supporters too. So it's great.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, me and Ethan and Talon have played together for a lot of years. So I think, you know, to kind of have that dynamic, I think it's, you know, it's really, really special, really cool. We do a lot of things, you know, with each other's families and in the summertime and stuff like that. So I think, you know, if they ever had a third brother, I think I'd probably be.
Can you raid their fridge?
The Perlingers and Coxes, you know, they're real good too. Cam and Cove, they're just young kids. They just have, you know, full of energy, and you know, they just bring it every day. They love to go at each other, and you know, same with D and Logan. You know, they got the forward D-man dynamic too. So I think when you look in our room, I think it's a pretty special group, and you know, to kind of have, you know, the three sets of brothers, I think it's pretty cool. So,
well, I was just wondering if you were free to raid the Perlingers and the Hillbigs fridge, whenever you want, and what's in there, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, I should have. I mean, he's 6'4", and I think I'm 5'10".
There's anything left. If there's anything left, yeah.
Awesome, guys. Jeremy, you got one more?
Nope, you're good.
Okay, we'll do with Rory's Rapid Fire. The first time ever with two people, so we're going to try to pass it back and forth. If not, if it's not a back and forth question, it might be singled out, but we'll give this a shot. So we'll start with Tylan. Logan can answer unless I single one of you guys out. What group of brothers butt heads and bicker the most? The Perlingers, the Coxes, or the Hillbigs?
It's the Perlingers, for sure. What they're doing, they're always bickering at each other.
Concur.
Yeah,
Logan?
I mean, I think it's 1A, 1B with the Perlingers and these two. I think the physicality between Ethan and Tylan, I think it's a lot, you know, more aggressive maybe when they battle each other. But, you know, listen to the Perlingers go at each other. It's quite hilarious.
Well, Tylan, if you're going up against Ethan in a battle drill, who's winning on the more majority basis?
I'd love to say myself, but Ethan does play pretty tough.
Did you guys go to school together, like elementary school or different elementary schools? Like, because you're both from Kindersley, how did that kind of work out, or it didn't work out that way?
Yeah, we were in the same class as middle school, and then high school, we pretty much took majority of the same classes too.
Who was the better intramural player? Like, I'm talking other sports, volleyball, basketball, handball, you know, like, who was the better intramural sports?
It was divided pretty evenly, like, depending on the sport.
We were partners for a lot of things, so like badminton and stuff like that, we usually dominated together. So.
Logan, of course, you played with Connor Bedard, the story of the NHL right now. Is there one thing that you have kind of bragging rights over him, maybe off the ice, that you knew that you had the edge and could do better than him? Cooking, maybe? Or
nothing. No, I don't know. He was a really good guy, and I think, you know, he was pretty dialed on everything he did. So I think, there wasn't very many categories I'd beat him in.
Tylan, another brother question. What's the one thing Ethan does that annoys you the most?
There's a few things. the most?
Or top five?
Air the dirty laundry.
Top five.
Let's go. Don't hold back.
I honestly, the most annoying thing is probably when he tries to rub it in that he stopped me in a one-on-one in practice. It's like, it was one rep. Like, that was last week. Like,
figured it.
I got one more, and I'm not sure if you guys will have an answer, but if there was, you guys were in like a buddy cop movie, like The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, about Logan Linklater and Tylan Hillbig and Kindersley, who's playing you guys in a movie? What actor?
Good question. I'd probably take like Mark Wahlberg or something like that. I think I like him in that movie. I would take him straight up.
I guess, you know, you're a big 6'3" guy. You could take Will Ferrell as well. He's a big, tall dude. It's true. It could just be the other guys.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'd like to say so. Someone charming like Brad Pitt or something.
I got Matt Damon for Hillbig, and I got Adrian Grenier from Entourage for Linklater.
That's not bad.
There you go. All right. Well, fellas, we really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. We really appreciate it. Congratulations on the good start, and best of luck this weekend and the rest of the season with the Kindersley Clippers.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us on. We appreciate coming on. So thank you, guys.
All right. That is Logan Linklater and Tylan Hillbig, forwards for the Kindersley Clippers. We talked about it, obviously, quietly the last 2 weekends. They've been very good, the Clippers. Mm-hmm. 3 out of possible 4 points, and it looks like they're heading in the right direction under Clayton Jardine.
And, I mean, in the season preview show, the first weeks of the show, I mean, we were expecting this
Kindersley.
I was really hoping for big things from them. Mm-hmm. Did they start 1-3? Yeah, so what? They've shrugged it off. And, look at them go.
And just to add to that, too, not the easiest schedule to start the year either for the Kindersley Clippers either. But they're going to play 3 games in 3 nights this weekend, 2 games in Flin Flon, and wrapping up the trip in LaRange on Sunday. But before we go to break, we know what time it is.
Oh boy.
It's everyone's favorite segment, brought to you by Nougat Bar.
Nougat Bar.
It was good, though. I cracked it open in the break.
We both did. We cracked it open during the commercial break. Pretty good. So
pretty good.
Thank you again, Noogsy. And sponsored by Nougat Bar is Noogs and Notes.
There you go, Noogsy. Jacob Faith, get on that. All right. Popular segment of Noogs and Notes is explaining a sponsor of the league. I got Borgo Industries Limited, started in 1974. They build and support farming equipment like seeders and drills and cultivators. They employ most of the town of St. Brieuc in central Saskatchewan, so that's about a town of about 600 people, and most of them work for Borgo. And the current president and CEO, Joseph Borgo, his dad, Frank, invented a state-of-the-art 4-row series multi-purpose cultivator in 1969 and kind of made his name out of that. So they make any kind of farming equipment and fix it as well. So there you go. Thank you, Borgo. The WHL Cup starts on Wednesday in Red Deer, the best 2008 birth years in Western Canada. Saskatchewan plays BC on Wednesday to open it up. A whole bunch of SJHL draft picks in this event. Boston Schmidt is a Yorkton pick. Jonas Sivertsen is a Flin Flon pick. Davey Fisher, a Nipawin pick. Eric Granberg is a Melford pick. Of course, Dane Boyker and Beckett Hamilton are both also there for Saskatchewan, and they're auto protects to the Humble Broncos, so Rory might be able to call their games at some point later this year if they get called up by Scott Parney. I know they're 08s, but they're pretty special. 2 first-round picks in the Western Hockey League. It's always a great tournament. My favorite team at the tournament has a favorite to win. Not my favorite team. My favorite team is obviously Saskatchewan, but my favorite to win it is Alberta, with a D-Corps that has 3 guys that I think are almost not nobody's surefire NHLers, but Daxon Rudolph, Keaton Verhoef, Aaron Sawatsky. 3 first-rounders in the Western Hockey League on their back end, and boy, oh boy, are they good. Daxon Rudolph was the 1st overall pick in the Western Hockey League, and Verhoef was the 4th overall pick, so great back end for Alberta, and 2nd overall pick too, and Riley Boychuk up front, so should be good. Great tournament again. Saskatchewan assistant coach at that event is the head coach of the Notre Dame Hounds, Brett Pilkington, head coach and GM, so he won't be there in Weyburn or in Carlisle either, so there you go. And then finally, the Sask Finest have had 2 pieces up on the SJHL website already. Braden Klamosko a couple weeks ago, Nick Nielsen, the broadcaster of the Weyburn Red Wings last week, and I have a new one on Wednesday. You have to tune into the SJHL website around noon to find out who it is. I posted a picture last night on my social media with a hint. If you can get it from that picture, then kudos, because the hint was not an easy one. But there
I got
you
it
go.
Wrong.
And Rory got it wrong. But it's a good one. I'm really excited about it. Got some great interviews for it. So make sure you tune into Saskatchewan's Finest every Wednesday at noon on the SJHL website.
And that's Nukes and Notes.
Nukes and Notes.
Brought to you by Nukabar.
Nukabar.
For the time being, at least.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Then we're going to come back and we're going to hand out some awards. We'll have Players of the Week. We'll have a fantasy, our fantasy team update, which I know one of us is getting very excited to do. He's smiling and nodding. And much, much more. This is SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms.
The Chevrolet Silverado 1500. Advanced power and capability to tackle the long hauls. Style to make a statement on the streets. Visit ChevroletOffers.ca to learn more.
Increase your home comfort with high-efficiency natural gas equipment. Sask Energy offers rebates so you can lower your energy use and save money. For a list of rebates, contact a participating network member or visit saskenergy.com.
When you buy a lottery ticket in Saskatchewan, your money really goes a long way. More than 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups receive funding from Sask Lotteries every year. Everyone wins.
Thanks for helping me out and trying to protect me today. It's the kind of thing that, you know, somebody comes out who's not ready, not prepared, and put into an awkward situation without somebody taking leadership and saying, hey, I'm going to protect you. It's going to shorten people's careers. And that's a big reason why we exist and, you know, what drives us to do what we do.
They know how important their role is in the community, being a good leader, you know, showing kids that there is a right and a wrong way to do things and leading the right way, being a positive role model to not just kids in the community, but anybody in the community.
You know, Coach said a lot of great things that are really consistent with the values that we have at the SCSA and, you know, respect for those around us, respect for those that we work side by side with. Leadership and part of that is being innovative and collaborative and solving problems together. Really the last one that you touched on was integrity, doing what's right and doing it the right way. And those things just yield incredible results, not just in terms of making things safe, but really being productive and striving, whether it be, you know, in a game or in your life or in your business.
I think absolutely we try and fill the roles of all those values and just try to be the best people we can, really, not only for ourselves, but for our teammates and for the community around us.
Have a lot of fun today. Thanks, guys.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Original 16. Celebrate things done well.
My name is Kyle McIntyre, and I'm the commissioner of the SJHL. We have 12 teams spread out all over this amazing province. 12 teams that hit the road for a combined 324 season games. We take hockey players, we make them better. We make them better at hockey and better at life. That's what the SJHL is all about. We have a great league, we have great teams, great ownership, the best fans, the best partners, and the best sponsors.
Welcome back to SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. It's Noobsy, Rory, Jeremy. Thanks so much for joining us wherever you may be watching, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all the social medias. We really appreciate it. Of course, all of our shows are presented by UPL, you can see in the top corner. So thank you so much to UPL for all the great support with our SJHL programming. And we also want to give a big shout out and a big thank you again to Logan Linklater and Tylan Hillbig of the Kindersley Clippers for taking some time this afternoon to chat some hockey with them. But without further ado, it's time to announce some players of the week for this week. And I got to say, before we get started, when we were looking at the stats and everything yesterday, when it came to determining players of the week, it was a pretty good week for defensemen. Very good week for defensemen. But let's start with SGU MVP of the week, who is also the Super U defenseman of the week, and that being Connor Tuohy of the Humble Broncos. I mean, one goal, seven assists, a very good week, Rory, for Tuohy.
Yeah, he had the most points out of any SJHL player this week, and he did it from the blue line. He's up there in power play points out of all skaters, second in the league in D-man points. He's fifth in the league in points out of all skaters, first in the league in rookie points. We knew he had a lot of talents coming out of Shattuck St. Mary's, right? Scouted and acquired by Scott Barney. I didn't know he was this good. He's got 13 points in his last five games. And, yeah, he's been an absolute gem on the team and in the SJHL. I expect D1 schools to be calling very, very quickly about this guy.
Well, what is he, like 2 points per game?
2.17.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, hey,
that's pretty good.
It turns out after Sidney Crosby, they make some good players at Shattuck St. Mary's.
It's not just Sidney Crosby.
Not just Sidney Crosby.
So, how about two defensemen, though, in the top five of scoring? Noah Hull and Connor Tuohy now. That's just really cool.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Noah Hull had a great week, too. Yeah. He had, what, 7 points, I think, in four games this week?
Something like that.
He had a great week as well. But congratulations to Connor Tuohy, SGU MVP of the week. And Super U Defenseman of the Week. Moving on to Borgo Forward of the Week and retaining his Borgo Forward of the Week crown, Noogsy, Justin Lees of the Flin Flon Bombers. 2 goals, 4 assists. Another great great week for the pride of Flin Flon.
Yeah, I tell you what, they are thrilled to have this many Northern Manitoba kids on the Bombers this year. And Justin Lees, the captain, he's come in. Remember the first week we said, what's wrong with Justin Lees? He didn't get any points. Well, he's run over the league since then. 16 points in 8 games and an 8-game point streak since then. I'd say he's going to be fine. He's right up there. Flin Flon has, I think, the four top leading scorers in the league right now. And Justin Lees is right in that mix. 2 goals against Notre Dame. The rest were assists. He skated around like the Notre Dame power play to score a shorthanded goal like they weren't there. Man, Justin Lees is going to make a lot of people look bad in the league this year. Yeah, deserved. He's going to get a lot of awards. He's dominant.
The pride and joy of Flin Flon and the pride and joy of Team Nukes right now with 16 points on his fantasy team.
I need somebody.
You're
facing a lot of injury trouble, though. A lot of injury trouble at Team Nukes.
So congratulations to Justin Lees, again, retaining his Borgo Forward of the Week crown. Moving on to Direct West Rookie of the Week. And from the Melville Millionaires, Cole Keane. We talked about it when we mentioned the Millionaires and their sweep. But stepping up this week for the Mills was Cole Keane, a goal and 3 assists.
And sorry, I was just saying, we knew that they would need someone to fill in on this young team. We didn't know where the offense is going to come from. We expected the defense to get better. Will Dyken net. Cole Keane, 4 points in this back-to-back winning streak for the Melville Millionaires. They actually have the second longest winning streak in the league right now, do the Melville Millionaires. But such a young, talented player, and just expect him to keep on growing and growing as the season progresses.
Yeah, I spoke to Mike Rooney after the draft last year, and he was really, really excited about the Melville Millionaires draft from last year. So the fact that Cole Keane, who was their highest pick, by the way, in that draft, even though he was a second rounder, has come in and been this good this fast is not a big surprise, to at least to Mike Rooney, who's obviously now an agent. But anyways, that's the topic for another time. Another point, last point about Cole Keane is he's got 7 points. 5 of them against the Estevan Bruins. Where did he play his AAA hockey, folks? Anybody want to guess? Here's a little early quiz question.
I'm going to guess the Estevan Bears.
He played for the Estevan Bears. So, again, there's maybe a little revenge tour for Cole Keane against... I mean, he's going to play them a lot in the Vite era. He was good against Yorkton, too. I'm not just saying he's only playing hard against Estevan, but there's something to that.
Over what's happened the past, 5 years with Estevan against Melville, I'm sure Melville is rarely happy in their fans to have a guy that's starting to light up Estevan a bit.
Yeah, for sure. And with the Millionaires, it seems like each game it's somebody different stepping up, and Cole Keane's been very good for them early on this season, a goal and six assists. So congratulations to Cole Keane, Direct West Rookie of the Week. Moving on to SaskTel Goalie of the Week. And I don't know, this may be a first, I don't know. Yeah. But when we were looking at goaltenders of the week, it's tough when goalies almost have the exact same stats. So as a result, the co-winners of SaskTel Goalie of the Week, Kenneth Marquardt of the Flin Flon Bombers and his goaltending partner, Harmon Laser Hume of the Flin Flon Bombers. I mean, Noogsy, they pretty much had identical stats, just one goals goal against for both in two games. They each got two wins, and they each got a shutout.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I think Mike Reagan's going to give Kenneth Marquardt a little bit more time, and that's going to give Harmon Laser Hume a little bit more gas later in the year, too, and I think that's great. Listen, Kenneth Marquardt, for me, is a prime example of it pays off sometimes to be a little uncomfortable, and here's what I mean by that. Kenneth Marquardt was a 16-year-old kid, and he didn't get as many looks as he would have liked in minor hockey coming out of Regina. So what did he do? As a young kid, he went to BC and played Junior B, you know, out there and absolutely dominated with the Soyuz, which was a very good team in Junior B a couple of years ago. And Kenneth Marquardt was 16-1 as a 16-year-old goalie out there. But he was a little uncomfortable. He got away from mommy and daddy's home, and nothing wrong with staying home. Absolutely not. But he got out and he was uncomfortable, and it's paying off in spades. He's an 0-5, yes, but he looks way more mature than that in net. And they got a real good 1A, 1B situation in Flin Flon. I know they got good players everywhere right now, but they're happy in net too.
Yeah, for sure. And when you can roll out, you're comfortable with both goalies, you're going to have a lot of success. And finally, Saskatchewan Player of the Week, a player, Rory, you saw this weekend, Braxton Buchberger, a goal and three assists. Solid start to the season for Braxton.
Yeah, leading the team in points. He's an absolute menace out there, right? Yeah. He's got some grit to his game. He can get under the skin of other players. And Ronan and Braxton on the top of that power play is something special to watch. They constantly are head faking off the shot front screen. And yeah, Braxton had a great week. He scored on the power play to give the Nipawin Hawks the first lead of the series. Then he set up his younger brother for the overtime winner. He's fun to watch, and he just brings kind of that intangible that all coaches want, right? You can he's going to score, and then he's going to stick you on the way to the bench, right? I love the type of play that Braxton Buchberger is. He brings it all, and he's just tough to play against.
Yeah, and you talked about that Nipawin Hawks team going on the road and finding ways to get results and maybe play better at the Elgar Peterson Arena at times and whatnot. And I think about their leadership group, and that really speaks to the leadership they have in that Nipawin locker room. Maguire Ratzlaff, you know, great leader. Braxton Buchberger, great leader. Joel Maben, like, great leader. Like, they have a very good group of leaders on that team, and Braxton Buchberger in the middle of it. Again, a big fan of that Buchberger family. I've said it before, I'll say it again. And Braxton, yeah, great to see him having a great start of the year.
And we're still waiting on the Buchbergers at the Centennial Arena in
Buchberger.
But congratulations to Braxton, Saskatchewan Player of the Week. And of course, if you want to read more about this week's Players of the Week, head to sjhl.ca. Now, if you missed it, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we drafted our SJHL fantasy teams on SJHL Insider. So if you did miss it, you can go back on our YouTube channel. And if you're not subscribed to it, subscribe to the YouTube channel. But you can go and watch our full SJHL fantasy draft. And we figured we would give an update on our fantasy draft. So I'm just going to read off in reverse order the points, and then we can comment on them. Noogsy just took a big sigh, so you can kind of guess where Noogsy is. Noogsy is in fourth with 83 points. I am in third with 85. Clark is in second with 89. And Rory, you had a great week.
I did.
You are up to 107. 18-point lead, Rory. How do we feel?
I'm feeling good. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. This is a long season in the SJHL. Yeah. And, you know, a team as talented as Noogsy's, they've just gone through a little injury troubles. You know, he's missing Summers. He's missing Dalen Weigel right now. Yeah. They're going to get back. Noogsy will make a climb. But I've just had some hot starts, right? I got three out of the top five scores, and I got five out of the top 13 scores.
It's pretty good.
So right now, that's just a good way to start the season. I'm happy for all my performers. If they want to keep it going, I'd really appreciate it. if not, you know, I don't blame you. It's all right. Yeah. It's a long season, so. But it's a good start. I'm happy. I'm over triple digits right now.
Noogsy.
Yeah, I'm just proud of the four of us. I think we've really nailed the, like, a really good cross-section of the talent, all 12 teams in the league represented. And I think it's going to actually be really close, like down the wire the whole year.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of the four of us. Let's give I'm going to give ourselves a pat on the back here.
Thank you, buddy.
Good job. Everybody did a good job. All four of us did a great job, including fantasy sports savant producer McGark, who we all know literally gets paid to be a fantasy GM.
He does.
We are facing a literal professional.
It was just a lot of fun.
And it was
that was one of my favorite fantasy drafts I've ever.
After the games on Saturday night, I'm literally checking the games. I'm like, okay, I got 1 point there, I got 2 points there. I'm literally doing that.
But if Zach Summers and Daily Wiggle could come back real soon, that would be great.
Yeah, fair enough. So that's your SJHL fantasy update. We will give updates, I don't know, maybe twice a month type thing, every 2 weeks, just to see where everybody's at, because I don't think it'll change too much after 1 week. So maybe every 2 weeks we'll give a fantasy update, and we'll let you know where we are at with our SJHL fantasy leak. But moving on now, Rory, you have some obscure stats you want to share with us.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're obscure stats. I just thought I'd throw in a little game to wrap up the show. It's just called a Who Am I quiz.
I like that.
Right. So I got a little bit of a stat. It could be a player. It could be a team. Majority of them are teams, just to see if it would be a little bit more easier. But it's basically a stat, a little bit of a trivia question, and then see if you guys can guess the team.
Okay.
Right?
Sounds
so
fun.
So I got about six or seven of them.
Okay.
It's the most exciting play in sports, and we've done it twice. The only team to have 2 penalty shots this season.
I'll say Estevan.
It is the Estevan Bruins.
Just because I was there on Friday and I saw one. So I had
I was going to say Humboldt because Van Blarecom had that one.
Oh, that's right.
Overtime, but
yeah.
Just the one for them. Okay. And actually, fun side fact, there's been 4 penalty shots this year. No one scored. Goaltenders have stopped.
The goalies.
We made a second bench for ourselves in the penalty box. We've taken the most minor penalties in a single game and also the second most minor penalties in a single game. Who am I?
I have a guess, but I want to let Noogsy guess first.
Well, a team that took the most penalties in a single game, the most minor penalties.
I have my guess, but I want to let Noogsy guess first.
I'm going to go with Yorkton.
I was going to say Weyburn.
It is Weyburn.
Oh.
16 minor penalties on October 7th, 15 minor penalties on October 11th.
Okay.
The man advantage was clicking this game. We scored the most power play goals in a single game.
Oh. It's Flin Flon? Is it Flin Flon?
It is not Flin Flon.
Oh, man.
It's a shocker. It's way back on the season opener.
Oh, ooh.
Oh,
I'm not
Kindersley.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They scored four.
Power play goals.
Right.
Yeah. Our goalie really needed a break heading into the third period because he made the most saves in the second period out of any game played this season.
Ooh, the
24
second,
saves.
The second period.
24.
The goalie needed a break.
Well, the goalie made 24 saves in the second period.
I think
was it Johan Tromblay?
It was Johan.
Really?
Poor Johan. He's averaging like 52 shots a game, something like that.
All right, I got a few more. Although we don't have a losing record, we don't have a combined period where we've outscored our opponent.
Oh.
So in the first period, the second period, the third period, over the course of their first 8 games, they have not outscored their opponent, but they don't have a losing record.
Is it Weyburn?
No.
No.
Is it Battlefords?
It is not Battlefords.
Oh, who is it?
It is the Kindersley Clippers again.
Oh, okay.
First
us
period,
with the back-to-back
first
Kindersley.
Period 9-9,
really?
Second period 4-10, third period 10-12.
Mm.
Okay, I got 2 more for you.
Okay.
Heading south for the winter, apparently, because this is the only team to have not played a single game against any Viterra Division opponent.
Ooh.
Against not a...
They have never played the Viterra Division yet.
Nipawin.
It is the Nipawin Hawks. Yeah. He got it. One
Except
more.
They're down south this weekend.
Yeah, they got
they
3-3.
They are down
yeah.
south this weekend. Spoiler, they're down south this weekend.
Yeah, they got 3-3.
Better not take any penalties when I'm on my game. I've scored 73% of my points on the power play.
Ooh.
Is it Cage Nguyen?
It is Cage Nguyen.
Boom.
And that will wrap up Who
hey,
Am I?
Noogsy. Look at us.
We not did
we're not terrible.
I think, what, 6 out of 7?
Can we get
we
a graphic that says not terrible?
6 out of 7. We did pretty good.
I hope you enjoyed that.
That was great. That was awesome.
Great. Great job.
Great job finding those. All right, let's take a look at the upcoming schedule because the new week in the SJHL starts tomorrow. Pair of games on the docket. The LaRonge Ice Wolves will visit the Nipawin Hawks. And if you, I'm going to say this, if you're in the Nipawin area, it's free admission night the cage.
Yes, yeah.
Get to the cage, it's free. You'll see a great matchup between the Ice Wolves and the Hawks. And then, of course, the Humboldt Broncos will be on the road to take on the Yorkton Terriers. And then on Wednesday, another pair of games. The Notre Dame Hounds will look for their first win of the season as they visit the Weyburn Red Wings. And then the Melfort Mustangs play host to the Battleford's North Stars with puck drop at 7:30. Aside from those games, guys, or maybe those games, what when it comes to this coming week in this SJHL, what do you kind of have your eye focused on?
Not biased, but I mean, anytime the defending champs roll into town,
yeah,
or you
fair.
Play them, I mean, it's definitely circled on your calendar, mm-hmm. I think, for everyone involved. So Humble Battlefords is mine.
Yeah, sure.
I'm really excited for that matchup.
There have been so many good Trevor Blevins versus Braden Klimosko playoff matchups and game matchups over the years. They've been around the SJ for a long time, obviously, both of them, Battlefords and Melfort. On Wednesday, that's always a special treat.
Midweek game, Battlefords Melfort, nice.
Yeah. Should be a lot of fun. Very interested to see how, you know, Nipawin uses the momentum of beating Humboldt in the EPA. Not too many people do that, go into Humboldt and win. So we'll see if Nipawin can use that momentum on a 3-3 Estevan Weyburn Notre Dame. Should be a very interesting weekend ahead for the Nipawin Hawks.
And yeah, I was going to say for me, the 2-3-3s are really intriguing with Nipawin playing 3-3 down south and then Kindersley going up for a very difficult 3-3 with two games in Flin Flon and then closing that one out in LaRange. Of course, if you want to stay up to date with everything in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, be sure to like us across all of our social media platforms. We got a lot of them. Like them on Facebook. Follow us, I should say, on Twitter or X, formerly known as Twitter. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're over 1,000 subscribers now, so thank you so much for your support on the YouTube channel. But that's where you're going to find our shows. You're going to find the highlights. You're going to find features. You're going to find so much more. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and follow us across all of our social media platforms. And we have to give a big thank you before we go to all of our great sponsors in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Of course, this show is presented by UPL. All of our shows, this show, Insider, all the other shows presented by UPL. So a big thank you to them and a thanks to Borgo, which we learned lots about through Noogs and Notes. Thank you, Noogsy. We're looking forward to the next one next week. Cantera Seeds, Capital Auto Mall, Great Western, Nutrien, RBC, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, Sask Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, Sask Energy, SGEU, SGI. Thank you so much for your support. Without your support, these shows would not be possible. The new week in the SJHL starts tomorrow with two games on the schedule. Of course, if you can't make it out to your local rink, you can catch all the action on Flow Hockey. But for Noogsy, Rory, Jeremy, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for tuning in this week to an all-new episode of SJHL Weekly, and enjoy the games this week, everyone.
This episode of SJHL Weekly is presented by SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.